Welcome back to Horror Movie News, episode 29. Just one more episode away from the big 3-0. And on this episode, we are talking the Evil Dead remake sequel, possibly. Jamie Foxx up for Spawn, and also a Quiet Place World expansion. All this and more on Horror Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Sit!
What are you saying? What are you saying,
don't
Timothy?
Don't blame the movies.
Why not?
It's not their fault.
Yes! What up, my witches? What's happening? It is, what is it, May 8th? May 8th.
Yeah.
What up? So yeah, welcome to Horror Movie News, episode 29. Woo! Let's do some intros. I am Anthony Becerra, and to my left I have...
What's up, Carrie Lane here.
What up, Carrie Lane.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys.
What up, Lucretia?
Hey guys, I'm Oliver Drennan.
Hey, Ollie. All right, let's do some quick crypt keeping. Where you can find us, youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. Duh, you guys always hear me say this all the time. Also on Twitter at horrornewsptn, our personal show Twitter, as well as popcorntalknetwork.com. yes, we are on that website. And last but not least, Apple Podcasts, Horror Movie News. Just type that in. Look for this icon. Give us 5 stars, ratings, please. Feedback, anything you want to give us, we will take. And now the crypt is clean.
Woo. Good job.
Yeah. Very so let's clean. Move on to our first Seggy episode.
Seggy, I like that.
The Abyss, pretty much. What we've been watching. So I've been going through a little horror movie news drought. Mm-hmm. My garden is dying for like movies to watch. There's tons of movies. I just my motivation hasn't really been there as much. But I'm trying to kick it back up into gear. So I'm giving myself a swift kick. Yes, exactly. Oh, just like how a horse neighs,
so scary.
I will neigh into the abyss. So pretty much, I saw Tremors because I love that movie.
It's a good one.
Friday night, I go to sleep at 4 a.m. I wake up Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Two knocks on my door. Who is it? Nonetheless, Phil Svitek saying, let's watch Tremors. And I'm like, yo, it's 9 a.m. I got like 5 hours of sleep. Hell yeah, I'm effing down. Let's do it. Got my coffee. Roll into that little theater room that we got. Mm-hmm. Pop that sucker in. And Kevin Bacon on the big screen. What's better than that for a Saturday morning?
Yeah, I love Waking with Bacon.
Oh! Can I hit that?
Hey,
sound cue?
Where's that drum?
Stick.
Thank you. Well, and I really do love Kevin Bacon and Tremors. That's why I'm sad the pilot didn't get picked up for the...
I know. Yeah. And you see those pictures?
Yeah.
Fantastic pictures.
And a friend of mine was in it, Toke Solagundaye. So I told her,
so
I was
cool.
Like, oh, well.
What could have been? Another show I would eventually watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw Tremors. It's always a damn fun time. We're saying the little quotes and everything. What the hell's going on here? What the hell's going on here? Like, one of my favorite things of all time. But yeah, I saw Tremors. That was my abyss. I did see another movie, but I'm saving that for the crypt. So on to you guys. What y'all watching?
I went to it's horror adjacent. I went to the Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival. Opening night film was Searching. I talked about it on Box Office Breakdown, and it's a thriller, so that's why I put it in the horror category. It's about a father whose daughter goes missing. And the thing that's really cool about the movie is it's all told essentially through, like, a computer screen and phone conversations on, like, via FaceTime and everything. And at first you kind of go, I don't know how that's going to work. Mm-hmm. But the movie opens up with these, like, home videos, and then it transitions into, the dad FaceTiming the daughter, and they're talking to phone calls and everything. And then there's, like, comedic moments, like, the screensaver's on at one point. And, like, the audience laughs. There's actually a lot of humor in it, too. But that should be coming out at the beginning of August, so I highly recommend Searching. And it stars John Cho. And then he wasn't able to attend. And then Tony's like, because he's filming something else.
Yeah, The Grinch.
Yeah, I forgot that. Because they played a clip before the movie where he's like, I'm so sorry, I can't be there. But he didn't say what he was filming, but that kind of detracts from the current film. But either way, it was really cool, and I do recommend it. And then I'm blanking on the name, but I saw a short last night. It was a shorts program called Feminist AF2, T-O-O, and one of them kind of horror in terms of dystopian. It was kind of like, I think it's future perfection, and the idea is like it's this future world where everybody's getting plastic surgery, and so they're just kind of interviewing the people of like, yeah, this is what I want. And it's just creepy, like a different kind of horror, because you're just like, oh, like their face is all bruised, they got bandages. It's like, yeah, you're going to look better now. And so it's like a different kind of horror.
Sounds like LA in 10 years.
Right? Totally. Yes.
Right on. Lucretia?
Me. I watched The Faculty just before I came here because I saw that it was Teacher Appreciation Day and that The Faculty was available with your Starz subscription on Amazon Prime for free. Yeah, and I forgot how much I wanted Jordana Brewster's character to die, Delilah. And I'm like, that's the only thing in the movie that doesn't track. But I do love, like, Jon Stewart is the science teacher. And
it's a good movie. It's like a good 90s
Fantastic.
Horror.
And my brother's like, what I love about that movie is that drugs were the answer. Like,
you know?
It's so funny. But yeah, it's like, that's how they save the day and kill the aliens is drugs.
We're going through this list right now. Yeah. 30 great back to school horror movies, and The Faculty is number
18.
Yeah. Number 18 on the list.
Oh wow! Yeah.
I'm surprised it should be higher.
Higher. Well, after Ollie says it, we'll say what their top three were.
Okay. Oh, my thing for today. Go ahead. I'm interested.
Okay, so here, I'll just scroll down to the bottom. Oh, wait, that's too far. Those are
Urban Legend was on there. I love that.
Urban Legend was like number 30. So number one, Black Christmas. So this is just on Thought Co. I just searched like horror school related movies. Scream.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yep.
Okay.
Is number two, Diabolique.
Diabolique,
1955, number three. The Night of the Creeps, 1986, number four. Number five, Ginger Snaps.
Oh, yeah. I like Ginger Snaps, but I'm kind of surprised that stuff like Carrie, you know, isn't ranked at the top.
Right. Six, Detention.
That's not right.
2008, 2010.
I guess.
Suspiria.
But that's not even, like, high school. But anyway.
Carrie's number 9.
This is very loose.
Number 10, Battle Royale. That's the fun thing I like with lists, though, because even if you don't agree, sometimes it's like, wait, what are those other movies stuff? But
it creates debate. Black Christmas is during Christmas.
Yeah, I'm like, I would like consider that Christmas horror.
It's a school break.
Yo, if we're going down that route, I would say, like, Battle Royale. Like,
exactly.
Oh, my God. Totally.
I thought of another one, but I forgot it just now. It's okay.
But yeah.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you to Carrie for giving me this Resident Evil 7 shirt.
Oh, yeah, that just happened.
Anyone on iTunes, I'm wearing a Resident Evil 7 shirt. It's so awesome. I'm in love with it. Thank you.
Got it from Tabletop Day over at Geek & Sundry. So I was like, I saw it, and I was like, Ollie.
Thank you so much. But I didn't really get to watch a whole lot this week. Watching Handmaid's Tale, watching Full Metal Alchemist. Uh-huh. Definitely two very dark subjects that are being presented. I really didn't watch anything this week, but I do have a crypt, so... also, this is kind of off topic. Dove got mentioned by
retweeted by Mark Hamill.
He joined us for House of Demons because that was really cool.
So if you want to see him in the Slave Leia outfit,
that was
my God.
Please go follow him and
the thighs on that man.
I was like, that's beautiful because that was him and his wife who
that photo. I saw that going around. That looked great.
He was Princess Leia and she was Han Solo.
Shout out
to them. They looked amazing.
Gender bender. Right on. All right, that concludes our first segment. On to our second segment, the Crypt. Pretty much a film we would like to recommend and share with the whole world and everyone listening and at this panel. I'll go first. So I saw The Wildling. It was a pleasant film. It was directed by Fritz Baum. And synopsis, a blossoming teenager uncovers a dark secret behind her traumatic childhood. So I chalk it up to the secret life of an American teenage werewolf thing. If you guys ever seen that. Overall, I thought it was a cool movie. Something I've never seen before done is it's pretty much like werewolf but for a female. I haven't seen it personally, Carrie.
You haven't
it's
seen
all about
I
me
have yet seen show. Ginger Snap. It's so good.
I'm about to, you I have to see Tony Snaps right now.
Well, I have a question though: is do they relate the like connect a full moon and like female?
No,
cycle
here's the thing: it's not actually a werewolf, but it's the closest thing I can think of. But it's its own thing. It's like a weird creature thing.
Got it.
It's really cool. It also stars Liv Tyler. She's like really the more notable actress in this. Some highlights. I really liked the acting coming from the main girl. I liked what they did. It was like kind of like a coming of age for this young woman, but at the same time, as she matures, the more like animalistic she becomes. Mm. So there's like scenes of like her supposed father is like locking her up and injecting her to stump her maturity, because the faster she matures, the more crazier she gets into like this wildling creature and stuff. And it's really cool.
That sounds cool.
The only thing that like really bugged me throughout the whole movie, like the look of it looked weird. Like it's super high contrasted, and like it's also the darkness is very dark, and I messed with my settings on the TV too, and none of it helped. And that was my only complaint about it, was just like, why does it look so damn weird to me?
It looks a lot like Sleepy Hollow when I've seen the trailers, like the Tim Burton version. It's sort of that same filming style. So yeah, if you're not really into that, yeah.
I don't know. I find Sleepy Hollow's look to be a bit more pleasant to this. This one just looked like way too harsh for me. Like the contrast was so harsh that sometimes you could...
It's hard to make things out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And especially in like some of the dark scene, like there's a lot of scenes in darkness. I don't know if that was on purpose and that's like the stylistic choice that that they went for. But either way, it kind of bugged me. But you know, it could have been my TV. It could have been a lot of factors. Not really like a huge like thing to like, oh, don't watch it because of this. No, definitely go watch it.
Be aware.
It. Yeah. And also, it's on Amazon right now. And you can go rent that sunbitch. So yeah, definitely rent that.
Since you inspired me, Lucretia, it's Teacher Appreciation Day. So a school one that I thought was really fun, that kind of little under the radar, and some people either didn't see it or they're like, eh. I actually really like Jennifer's Body. Mm-hmm. That was one where, if you guys don't know, Megan Fox, and at first I was like, but Amanda Seyfried is more the main character, and I think she's great.
I thought Megan Fox was great in this.
She was so good in it. Yeah,
role for her.
When Megan Fox has a role that fits her, she does so well.
So if you guys have never heard of it or don't know the plot, a newly possessed high school cheerleader turns into a succubus who specializes in killing her male classmates. Can your best friend put an end to the horror? So it's just like fun horror. Came out in 2009 and directed by Karen Kusama. So yay, female director as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey.
But yeah, just super just fun horror. And the gore is great. I remember the gore being awesome. And yeah, fun time.
Ooh,
fun
written times. By Diablo Cody, too.
Yay.
She's done... Oh yeah, Young Adults and Juno. Yeah. Oh, sick.
Yeah, Diablo Cody's written a lot of good
movies. Mm-hmm. All right, who's up next on the chopping block?
Oh, yeah, me. What I'd like to recommend to everybody is to see, it comes out this Friday, is Revenge. Mm-hmm. It's very similar in vein to, like, I Spit on Your Grave. I mean, it's basically a woman sort of coming, you know, now back from the dead and revenging those who, you know, murdered her. I mean, brutally. Yeah, exactly.
Threw off her cliff, I believe.
Yeah, that's a thing. Is, like, in the trailer, you'll see she gets thrown off the cliff, but then awake. And that's what I like, is, like, oh, no. She is not down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember we showed just half of that trailer here a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, because, like, I felt like I did read that the trailer did reveal a little too much, so we stopped it at one point. But once she falls off the cliff, that's when we stopped it. But
Did you see it, Lucretia?
No, it doesn't come out till this Friday. I do sometimes get to see things early, like Bad Samaritan. But yeah, and again, we're back on the female director train, and she wrote and directed Coralie Farage, I think is how you pronounce her name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this film looks really good. I mean, the desert setting, I like,
That shot of, like, in the trailer, there's, like, a shot of, like, blood dripping onto an ant, and it's, like, super super zoomed in.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks so beautiful. It's definitely, like, super stylized looking film.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to watch it as well.
I definitely just hope that there's a theater that we can have access to it.
No,
Like, I'm willing to pay money. Like, I have MoviePass, but I'm willing to pay money for an actual ticket.
Yeah, best case scenario for, I think, everyone is just to count on VOD, really.
Yeah, it will be coming out on Shudder on Friday, for sure, and I believe Amazon Prime, so...
I don't have Shudder.
Yeah, I'm so down for that. I actually did the whole like VRV plan for Shudder, so it's like $10
bucks, you did
and
the
you get
group
like
thing.
The whole
yeah.
Unfortunately, you don't get like Shudder the TV, which like they started like really optimizing that, which I thought was cool. Is like they do like live events, like
okay,
like,
we're gonna
show
something else.
Mm-hmm. Like we're gonna show this movie on our like Shudder live TV feed kind of thing, and they're like, oh, join us and tweet about it. I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But anyways, right on. So Revenge, definitely check it out. I've been looking forward to this movie, and I don't know where to find it because IMDb nor Spendago is telling me where to go. But, you know, maybe day of, we'll see.
Lot of times movie times don't come out till Wednesday for new stuff on Friday.
Yeah. If anything, I'll just plop into the theater. And...
Interesting. I don't know if you guys ever saw Viral. kind of like a newer zombie-like outbreak movie. I watched it on Netflix a while, so it's a little hazy for me.
I don't think I've seen it.
It's directed by Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman, and it stars Annaleigh Tipton, who I absolutely adore. Ah. And if you're a reality television fan such as myself, she was on America's Next Top Model and did not win. But she's like a really, like, she's been getting really good roles lately. So shout out to you, Annaleigh. You didn't take the crown, but you take my heart. And you're getting all these roles, so good for you. But it's basically about two sisters who are stuck at home after a viral outbreak. So it kind of has that theme of, like, school a little bit. Because you're not going to school because there's this outbreak going on. And kind of what I took away from it was kind of, like, being kind of stuck in, like, the suburbs, kind of.
Yeah.
Because you know how the suburbs are kind of, like, everyone's kind of conforms and their houses look the same.
They're zombies, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really good. It's a solid film. It's not, like, a game changer by any means, but I think it's a decent kind of outbreak film, and I recommend it, so check it out.
Viral.
Ashley, that made me think of, and have you guys watched it yet? A new one that dropped on Netflix, The Rain, and it's from Denmark.
Today.
Yeah, it's a show, The Rain. It's, it looks very good. I know I talked about it on The Red Room a few weeks ago, because, it's an outbreak, and it's funny because we live in L.A., like, The Rain, we wouldn't even think, we're like, oh, we're good, but
not often. Looks interesting, so we'll talk about it if you see it. And if you have seen it, comment down below your thoughts on it. Because it looks cool.
Yeah, it looks very good.
I was like, sure, I'll check it out.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, eventually.
I know,
eventually.
Right?
Eventually.
Too many shows to watch. Hashtag first world problems.
Eventually, yeah. Or did I just work? All right, everyone, let's get into our news. So, first up on the board, something else I thought was pretty cool. Nothing, so preface this is all not confirmed. Well, I guess half of it, sort of. But the director of the remake of The Evil Dead back in 2013, he tweeted out a little poll. He's like, yo, everybody, what would you like to see? Don't Breathe 2 or Evil Dead 2? Yeah.
Hmm.
What would you guys like to see?
I would like to see Evil Dead 2 because Evil Dead
2. It is fair. I didn't even see Evil Dead, but I want Evil Dead 2 because Don't Breathe, I feel like,
It's its own thing. Yeah.
I don't need to see remake because the kids were dumb. That I'm like, no, I don't need to see more of you do dumb stuff. But Evil Dead, I'm like, oh, I would definitely check that out.
Well, yeah, and I'm an Evil Dead purist, but even I liked the remake because they made it its own thing. And, like, you know, Sam Raimi did produce it. And I know we have the chat is actually talking about this a little bit. Vibe City is like, do you think Evil Dead 2 Ash will show up and talking about the real Ash as he could be their dad? And that would be so dope. And then
I don't want that at all.
I don't either, because, I mean, Bruce has said that was it. Like,
he's hanging up the chainsaw and the boomstick.
And he's just going to smoke weed up in Oregon and garden.
Let him do his thing.
Exactly. But, Azteca Aguilar 04 says, Fede Alvarez did an amazing job with the Evil Dead remake.
Yeah.
I want to say Evil Dead 2, just because of all the practical effects. Like, there was really, no CGI in that film. Yeah. There wasn't, I don't think.
There was, the eye... probably. I don't know.
But
I haven't seen it in a while.
But I love Don't Breathe. That was like...
Don't Breathe was a really very good movie.
But I agree with you kind of saying that that was kind of a standalone thing. If there was some kind of like another installment, I wouldn't want it to be with like the same guy. I would want it to be something completely different if they did want to do it. But I enjoyed Don't Breathe. That had me captivated from start to finish.
Well, half of this panel is going to be disappointed. So, he tweeted out.
Well, it says Evil Dead 1. Why are we even disappointed? That's what we said.
You haven't read far enough. That's okay. So he tweeted out this poll. Evil Dead 1 was 70% of the votes. But this does not mean anything, really.
Yeah.
Well, at least that's what I thought. So he does show interest that he does want to make a sequel. And he's been ruminating on both of these. So pretty much I went on, I would love to see an Evil Dead 2 because why not? I think it'd be interesting to see where the story goes from the first one. Are we sticking with the same girl who just like lopped her hand off, you know? Or would it be a new group of people getting the whole Deadeye treatment, find the same cabin, you know? Cause Evil Dead 2, the original was like kind of more of a remake of the first one. So it's like, where do you go with this second iteration?
Well, and Mia's great character who I thought deserved more. I kept hoping she was going to show up on the show.
What if it follows her out of like the cabin? What if she's like in the hospital recovering and she starts seeing visions and stuff? Like, there's like multiple places that can take this, and I would be down for it. But I did look on IMDb, and I did see that Don't Breathe 2 is listed as announced. No
way. Well, being that it is on IMDb, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, I can go in and I can add that, so yeah. That's why I was like, I'd take that with a grain of salt.
Exactly. Maybe it's an overzealous fan. I would say that as well, yeah. But either way, it's there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Hey, messenger, shoot me if you want, but I'm going to come back as a deadite. But yeah, so that's that news. On to a fantastic filmmaker that I am so excited for, like coming up in this game. Her name is Anna Lily Amirpour. So she's known for A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. If you guys have not seen that, it's a fantastic stylized vampire romance drama flick. Hmm. And I really enjoyed that. And on top of that, she did The Bad Batch.
Which was a really good movie. I saw that last year.
I love that. And then the soundtrack for that, I love it. I have that in my phone. Oh my God. Did you know that Diego Luna was a DJ? He's just a DJ in that. He's just like, he doesn't have any, like, almost no lines. I don't think he has any lines. He's just like...
Yeah, like, he's so just sick. In the background. And, like, Keanu Reeves and Jim Carrey also have very good roles. Like, Jim Carrey barely says anything, too. Yeah. But, yeah.
I wasn't... although, one thing, I was not a fan of Jason Momoa's, like, Cuban accent. I was like, why? It was really bad, and I was just like, ugh. But anyways, it was Jason Momoa.
I'm adding
it
to my list.
But you could probably check that out on Amazon somewhere. But yeah, so pretty much she's got a new film coming out, and I believe she's shopping it around at Cannes. So it's called Blood Moon. Mm. It's being touted as a mind-bending adventure set in the swampy neon-lit streets of New Orleans and inspired by fantasy adventure movies of the 80s and 90s. At its center is a girl with a strange and dangerous ability who escapes from a mental asylum and rejoins the chaos of modern-day civilization on the hedonistic streets of the French Quarter.
Sweet.
Right?
That I was just in New Orleans, so I'm like, this sounds awesome.
It sounds like it's going to be very, like, carnal, like, very sexually, like, depravity of it all. Like, as in, like...
Yeah.
So, like,
very Marquis de Sade.
Like, I'm getting, like, We Are the Flesh, like, that film I saw that was very, like, sexually explicit kind of, like... But, it, like, going... exploring those taboos that are, like, never touched, you know? Like incest, but
we're all like, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds
good. We actually have a quote from her, and she had this to say. She said, I wanted to tell a stylized fairy tale in a New Orleans. Sorry, let me start over. I wanted to tell a stylized fairy tale, and in New Orleans, you have a specific, unique place where there is so much history and this openly hedonistic debauchery that is led by pleasures of the flesh. I thought that was an interesting place to set a story about a girl who has some disturbing abilities, but who isn't acclimated in any way to society and learns to be with people in such a chaotic place. And I'm just like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's the thing about Louisiana. You said it there when you're like, a bunch of weird stuff's gonna happen, like True Blood and things like that. Well, and I'm from close to Louisiana. I'm from East Texas. Like, I was closer to Shreveport than Austin, guys, so I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, they also got Victor Crowley going around over there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But yeah, so that was that. I'm super excited for it. I think she's a fantastic filmmaker. I mean, although I did not like The Bad Batch as much as I did her first film, A Girl Walks Home Alone, I'm still a huge fan of her. So I can't wait to see this, and I wish her all the success, and I can't wait to see her rise to stardom. All right, moving on. So this third one. Jamie Foxx is up or it's been in talks.
Rumored.
Yeah, that he's going to be our new Spawn. So pretty much, it is said that they've offered him the role of Spawn's Al Simmons, but it's unconfirmed. It's unconfirmed, but it's coming from the hashtag show. And surprisingly enough, Fox has actually been after this role for the past since like 5 years ago. He talked to movies.com. Shows you like the inventiveness to like that URL too, by the way. Well, movies.com.
Because Spawn is such a cool character. I mean, anyone who's ever been to my house has seen I love Spawn. I mean, there's a whole section of my little toy collection, and I love Jamie Foxx. And I feel like because I refuse to watch the non San Raimi Spider-Man other than Homecoming when we had enough time.
Amazing.
But yeah, it's like the garbage ones with Andrew Garfield. I refuse to watch those, so I don't know how Electro intro was. Like, and two, Jamie, I've only seen Jamie Foxx in good movies. And so I'm very much, like, excited about this. So I do see, like, some dissenters and be like, oh, Electro. I'm like, why didn't y'all just pretend that that didn't exist like I did?
I mean, look what happened with Chris Evans. Like, he was Johnny Storm, and now he's freaking Captain America.
Or, like, Ryan Reynolds, Green Lantern. I mean, hello.
It's like, we can let them pass, but we can't let it pass for Jamie Foxx.
It's like, come on.
And those guys were white. So black? No. So you guys not even going to bring... Well,
Well, Michael B. Jordan did finally, you know, that's Killmonger over...
He was Johnny Storm, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck?
All right, so just to bring it back, so what do you guys think of this? Jamie Foxx as Spawn?
Yay.
Awesome.
All right, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Who would you pick for
Charles K. Brown or Idris Elba. Yeah.
I feel like Idris is too suave.
Yeah, okay, like, so Charles K. Brown, I think, is the perfect guy. He's, like, up and coming. Jamie Foxx has had so much things. He's got his limelight.
You have too many things.
Well, Sterling K. Brown has so many awards, but I do agree that he would be a good
He'd be a fantastic one. But here's the thing. Here's, like, the most, like twist of fate that I missed months ago. So apparently Al Simmons isn't even that big of a role in the film. Spawn's not even like the main character in Spawn. He's actually a minor role, and he barely has any lines even to say. So I was like, okay. So and Todd McFarlane had this to say. I like to explain that it's my Jaws. Spawn doesn't say a word the entire movie. It's the same way with Jaws. It's about the sheriff and the people chasing the ghost, aka ghost as Spawn. That's it. The lead role isn't Spawn. The lead role is a cop, like Sheriff Brody from Jaws.
Well, so I kind of wonder, are Sam and Twitch, are they going to use the cops from there? Because that would be awesome.
That was rumored that they were casting for Sam and Twitch.
Yeah, I remember we had pictures. Yeah.
So it's possible that's like the story we're going down. It sounds interesting. I don't know. This might, like, turn some people off because he's not, like, I can see people like, he didn't even say anything. Or, like, he's not even a main character. Or, like, you know, all these, like, other things that are coming to my mind.
It would make me curious, though, to be like, so how did they do it?
Exactly. Yeah. I'll just see it because
I'm curious.
Yeah, because I could imagine it's Al Simmons. He probably has dialogue, and we get up to that point. But once he becomes Spawn, I mean, because too the way that the character is burned and everything, I see, you know, the possibility.
That is true. He does say specifically Spawn doesn't say a word, exactly. So possibly Al could. Yeah, good point right there. But yeah, and it also I think goes to show like the confidence that Todd McFarlane has going in there, saying that it's kind of like he's gonna make this film without actually showing the goods. Like, right away, in a sense, you know? So it's gotta say, pretty confident.
I feel like it has, like, legs. Like, it can lead up into, like, a really good sequel, for sure. And it's definitely a different take on, like, I'm surprised this is news to me. So, like, I think it has, like, lots of potential, especially if it's Todd McFarlane, the creator.
Well, and two, like, the thing about Spawn is there's so many cool characters that they can choose from, and I kind of like that, because that was what disappointed me a little bit in the movie, which I actually like. I know a lot of fans don't really like the movie, but I'm like, no.
I enjoyed it,
It was
like,
cool.
It was cool, and like, they had some of the characters, like, Clown and him turning into, like, you know, Malbolgi and everything, but there was a lot of, like, because there was, like, a little cameo with, like, Sam and Twitch, but, like, in typical movie fashion back then, they added a lot of characters that weren't really, you know, a big deal. So I'm kind of curious to see. It's like, oh, this means they may be using, like, the whole Spawn universe.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. I really hope that they just make, like, a solid film, and then we'll see if they get a sequel from there. Like, let's just... Like, I don't want them going into the mindset, like, no, we're going to get a sequel already. Although Blumhouse is, like, pretty lenient on that. I mean... You know, sequels left and right sometimes, especially with Happy Death Day, which is a great segue for our next story. So, a very unlikely return, like, casting news. So, Ruby Modine returns as a cupcake-poisoning bitch of a best friend to our girl Tree, Lori Spangler. So, yeah, the poisoning cupcake is back. I don't know.
I love how you just said returns as a cupcake poisoning bitch of a best friend to our girl Tree.
She is. But yeah, so I'm like, I bet you're asking what the fuck? Because she, like, not only did she fall out of a window, but she fell out of a window with a cupcake in her mouth. So even if the fall didn't kill her, I'm sure poison the cupcake would have killed her, like, afterwards, right?
Right?
Right? Yeah. Yeah, so I thought she was... So what's going on here?
Strange.
So I was, like, speculating to myself two things. She might not actually be dead for some sort of reason. Who knows? This is a horror movie after all.
Mm-hmm.
Also, too, Jessica Roth did mention that the sequel had some, Back to the Future elements. So it's going from time loops to time travel. Maybe they go back in time to when she's still alive, you know, who knows? And also, what does it mean for, does the working title that we reported on called Faux Pas, does that have anything to do, or should we just scrap it? There's nothing related to that title and, like, what actually is going on in this film. So these are the questions I'm asking myself.
Good questions.
I really did enjoy her character, though. How she was just all sweet and innocent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Happy birthday, here's your cupcake. Oh, yeah. I'm really trying to kill you because I'm psychotic.
Yeah,
so I'm excited. I'm really interested in this film and what the heck they're gonna the new dynamic that they're gonna incorporate.
I know, because
like it was like really easy linear kind of plot line from the first one. It's just like it's Groundhog Day, but it's a horror film. So I don't know what they're gonna do with this one.
Yeah, I mean that's the talk of the town. What's up? I feel like there definitely will be some sort of time travel aspect to it. So it's
Back to the Future with horror elements.
Yeah,
instead of Groundhog Day.
Yeah. So, who knows? Who knows? I mean, I'm definitely excited to hear more about it, really, because it's like, how are they doing this? Like, what? But, anyways, leave your comments down below to speculate what you think is going to be happening. I'm at a loss, pretty much.
Like, yeah. We're speechless. Yeah, help us out. Right, help us theorize this film.
Even the people like who were reporting were just like, yeah, I guess she's back. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
She doesn't even know she's back. She's like, I'm back.
Yeah, right? But we'll see. All right. And then moving on. Oh, yeah. So there's a couple of things that actually really scare me, like in life in general. So one of those things is exorcisms and demons.
Yeah.
Not like in film, like in movies.
In real life,
I've gone down really dark, deep holes on YouTube and with like exorcisms and like demon stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, William Friedkin said he witnessed one when he was doing his research. And so that was a really interesting interview from a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Right, and it shook him to his core. Yeah. And like ever since that, he's been fascinated with with exorcisms, especially after he made The Exorcist. That's where it all started, I believe. And he recently came out with a documentary that was The Devil and Father Amorth. Mm-hmm. And so here's a couple of things to know before. So it's a documentary. It's about like an hour or so. And it's more of like witness this exorcism. It doesn't really have much else to say about it. I still need to watch it. That's just what I've read on it. So make up your own decisions about what it's all about, really. But yeah, so that was released, and so after that was released, so pretty much it was Sony Screen Gems who acquired lifetime rights to his name along with two books. His first book, An Exorcist, tells his story, and An Exorcist, More Stories. And so from the author from where I read this from, like the article from, he proposed that they might be trying to do their own universe with Amorth, and I was thinking some sort of Amorthverse.
I like that. So, kind of like the Arrowverse.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that same Conjuring kind of style, I'm guessing you'll follow Father Amorth and go through like his multiple like accounts of like him doing exorcisms and whatnot. Like, there'd be tons of films that could just be, like, made through that.
And see, this is something, because on my show I even do this, take, you know, real horror elements and do, you know, a little bit of news on real horror stories. And this, you know, these are based on real accounts, which is so interesting to me. It's like, ooh, where are we going with this?
Yeah. Although they do scare the crap out of me, there is a part of me that is so intrigued by them. That's why I find myself going down these holes, even though I'm terrified of them. I'm just like... But I like what scares me, that kind of deal. So, like, I haven't seen the documentary yet, mainly because I'm very scared. Not gonna lie, I'm, like, very nervous about it. Like, because this is, like, something that could change, like, my views of things. Or just, like, be, like really haunt me for, like, weeks afterwards. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, I don't fuck with, like, demons. If you guys played the Ouija board, I say kudos to you, but get away from me.
Oh, I loved playing with it. Yeah.
I totally played.
Yeah. Nah, dude.
Oh, no, I'm on this end, too. I'm like, I'm not gonna touch it.
I would've touched it with a 10-foot cross, dude. I'd be like, mm-mm.
I used to go to, like, graveyards as a kid and play with it. Like, I, like, even broke into, like, an abandoned house, like, at a graveyard, and, like, everyone else was scared. I'm like, I'm not
play around.
No, see... Even if you don't believe in it, we've seen plenty of movies where they don't believe in it, and yeah. then shit happens, and fucked. I'm like, I'm not stupid.
Don't be skeptical. It's good that you guys aren't skeptical, though.
I believe in it, like, and that's what, but I believe it's like, it is what it is, and I'm not going to be harmed. I mean, but my little brother, like, were you ever into Aleister Crowley or anything?
I know his name, yeah.
Yeah, during his Crowley phase, as he puts it, he goes, some dark stuff just came into me, and I'm like, don't mess with the dark stuff in the book anymore.
Are you talking about numerology when you mention that?
Numerology.
Were you talking about numerology with that?
I don't really follow that so much, but yeah, it was pretty funny.
The number 23.
Do you have something to
add?
Yeah,
I know. I was like, ooh.
Just a few books I looked up on Crowley back during his numerology phase.
Oh, yeah. So you went through the Crowley phase as well. Like,
I know there's like a science, though, that it kind of explains, like some kind of scientific method that explains Ouija boards and how like they work, but I don't remember.
Well, it's often the people like moving doing it.
So I would need to watch that again. Yeah. But I have some stories, but that's for another podcast. For
I know. I am a pretty firm believer.
Well, that one makes more sense, and I feel you're not alone with that. It's because so many of the other things, I mean, though people will say they've had alien encounters and stuff, but I'd say anything that deals with, like, the supernatural in terms of possession and exorcisms and demons, more people gravitate to that because it's taught more that it's real compared to, like, werewolves and vampires. Like, but there's probably a larger group that's like, oh, yeah, no, that's real.
Yeah, I'm also, like, really, I'm raised, like, Catholic as well. And maybe it's just, like, the Mexican in me just, like, no, don't mess with the Diablo, amigo. Like, you know, like, don't touch that shit kind of thing. Although I am not, like, completely religious, but, like, there's a part of me I'm just like, yeah. Even if there's slight chance that it completely don't exist, I just don't want to
mess. So you never danced with the devil in the blue moon?
No.
I mean, like, I'm not taking my chances.
Yeah, I just, I think that
there's
scares
entities,
me, though.
Some kind of entities out there that you just feel just some weird presence.
Like, this is why I'll be Ash one day.
I don't want to risk myself just, like, losing my mind, you know? Like, I just don't want to do that. Like, I like where I'm at. But there is a part of me that does intrigue me. And my friends always...
So you're like this, watching the movie, you're, like, looking through your fingers, like, ah!
Well, like, the sounds that they make, like, the guttural sounds that come out of the people's voice when they are, like, being exercised and when they're going through that stuff... is so creepy. Like, it sends chills down my spine.
Well, where can we watch this?
Like, the documentary itself?
Yeah.
I believe it could be on VOD. Can you check that real quick? On the IMDb?
I would like to know. I love documentaries, except if they're creepy.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, watch it. I don't know when I'll watch it. I'm terrified. But yeah, I do want to watch it, though.
Day with the lights on.
Oh, for sure, with my cross. No, I'm kidding. Oh, yeah, but anyways, enough of the demon talk. On to, I thought was cool. This dropped today earlier, and I'm so glad I checked the site. So, John Krasinski wants to open up the world of A Quiet Place. So, first off, let's preface this with, he's not officially confirmed to return as the director. Okay? Oh. So, but here comes an interview that he did with Deadline, and he goes, if he had his way, this is what his thoughts on it all, pretty much. So... the thing is, I loved the thing that I loved in the movie, where my mind kept wandering as we were making it, was the question of who was on the other end of those fires when the father lights the fire and in the distance those other fires light up. Mm. So he hints on the site. How did those people survive? ? How did that old man survive? ? Mm-hmm. And he also goes on to say, in the extreme these characters are going through in the first film, there is no room to think about that. They're there. There's an old man who's about to scream. They just have to deal with that. I think it would be interesting to see what's going on elsewhere at the same time. Mm-hmm. And John, I say, I think that too.
Yeah, that was what I was hoping with the sequel, is like, we've already told the family story. Let's see
else. Yeah. Or I think we had talked about, like, the initial days. Yeah. Right. Like, let's see what happens day zero.
Yeah,
like,
how
does it go down?
Right? Like, what if there was a family who maybe took out one before the whole, like, before everything collapsed, you know? And then, like, they take them out and then they realize, wait, this is happening everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends.
Like, but also, like, that, it feels like if they did do that, there would be a lot more dialogue in the film, you know, because, like, don't you think?
Yeah. It'd be a different kind of movie, for sure.
Exactly.
No, it's completely
But that
different.
Could be cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to see that, or maybe see that transition from talking into they can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm down for that. I just had the crazy idea of like, let's follow a band, right? And then the band,
yeah,
and then they feed them with the power of music.
I just want to know a little bit more about the creatures and like, yeah, what exactly they are. And I don't need like a full like backstory origin, like what exactly they are. Just some kind of like hint to like what, sure, exactly, yeah, where did they come from? Basic. That's all I want to know.
So like,
the way they operate,
it's very like insectoid, mm-hmm, like humanoid insectoid kind of things, right? Mm. Insect humanoids, but I don't think
by the military.
I don't think they'd be able to be like, if they were aliens, I don't think they kind of like were steer their own ship or something. Like,
yeah, what, you know? They don't seem like,
no, not
intelligent.
Like
super intelligent.
So they've been dropped off it's by another alien species,
or, ooh, maybe some sort of little meteor crash landed somewhere and like eventually it grew out
mutation
of this meteor, like it grew out, yeah, like, you know, like what? I don't know. I don't know. It could be. There's so many theories, but maybe there's different types of monsters, not, yeah, just those that hear. You know, maybe, mm-hmm, there's other like other variations of them.
Ones that are really good at seeing. Ones that are really good at tasting.
Yeah.
Maybe they're deaf. It's the other ones too. They can't hear, but they can see.
Yeah, they just have big old just, yeah, eyes all, yeah, around, eyes, their faces. Yeah. Oh, that'd be creepy. I like it. Yeah, but speaking of a band and music, mm-hmm, it was announced today by Bloom that Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter will be reuniting after 27 years for Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K. I love those movies. Like, I'm really sad, though, is like, I hope they pay homage to George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta come clean. I've never seen any of these movies.
What?
Yeah.
I've at least, that's seen why you're the like, first
what the
one.
Hell did she just say?
I was like,
I saw the first one. Poker I didn't face. Get to see the second one yet.
Yeah, I've never really had an interest in these movies.
They're fun.
Yeah, they look fun. I mean, now I'm like, okay, I'll try to like be more check about it. Like, yeah, I'll check it out kind of thing. But yeah, the original was released in 1989 and with a follow-up in 1991. And I know they've been up around for like cult pulp culture, mm-hmm, you know, like I know their name, I know what like their deal is, I just never seen it, yeah. So but we do have, right, an official synopsis for the movie, and I was thinking I'll try to do it in the best, because don't they have like the like totally radical kind of like,
yeah, like they talk like surfer dude, you know, very much like
oh,
like,
yeah,
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah. And I was like, that's the best way I can put it, like Ninja Turtles.
So
yeah,
I'm gonna, yeah, try to do my best to do a surfer dude impersonation, right, while I read this official synopsis. So when Bill and Ted last met, they were time-traveling teenagers trying to pass history class and win the Battle of the Bands. Once prophesied to save the universe with their rock and roll, middle age and the responsibilities of family have caught up with these two best friends who have not yet fulfilled their destiny. Hmm. They've written thousands of tunes, but they have yet to write a good one, much less the greatest song ever written. With the fabric of time and space tearing all around them, a visitor from the future warns our heroes that only their song can save life as we know it. Out of luck and fresh out of inspiration, Bill and Ted set out on a time-traveling adventure to seek the song that will set their world right and bring harmony in the universe as we know it. Together, with the aid of their daughters, a new crop of historical figures, and some sympathetic musical legends, Bill and Ted find much, much more than just a song. The film is currently in pre-production.
Nice.
Thank you. That was really hard after a while.
This sounds
a long
one. Yeah, yeah, I know. So I was like, I gotta make it entertaining, yeah, somehow.
And this sounds a lot like The Pick of Destiny, like the Tenacious D movie, right, but like, yeah, with time travel.
That movie's,
and I'm like,
good too.
Yeah, so. I love that movie. And that's why I was like, oh, this is fun. It's kind of like Tenacious, yeah, D, but with time travel.
Right, dude, on.
That's gonna be really fun how they have their daughters. I wasn't,
yeah,
expecting,
yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, cool.
Their daughters and new historical figures. So that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I believe that was like a thing in the second one more, right? Where like they go back in time, they have all these like historical people with them.
Basically, they start that in the first one because that's how it starts out, is they're trying to pass history class and they go and like meet these, you know, people. But yeah, the second one just like gives, like, takes that whole concept and just pushes it even more. So yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, and then so also there's, we got, let's see, yeah, the original creators, Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon, have penned the script with Dean Parasot. confirmed to direct. And Dean has done Galaxy Quest, Red 2, and Fun with Dick and Jane. Oh, I forgot about that movie. I like that movie. Fun with Dick and Jane. You guys ever seen that?
Okay.
I thought it was cool.
Okay. I liked the Red movies. Second one wasn't as good as the first, but the first one is so good.
With like Bruce Willis?
Yeah, it's like
Helen Mirren.
The old folks.
Retired and extremely dangerous.
I love those movies. Yeah. So fun.
Right. Second one, it was different, but still good.
Right on. And so we also have a quote real quick from them. It says I believe it was Keanu and Chris. So we couldn't be more excited to get the whole band back together again. Chris and Ed wrote an amazing script. And with Dean at the helm, we've got a dream team.
Sweet.
Bada beam, bada boom.
Nice.
Right on. Oh, look, did you add this stuff, Lucretia?
Yes, I did. I was like, if we have time. We already talked about the Tremors pilot not being picked up.
Right,
but yeah, Fiona Dourif is going to star in the Purge TV series.
Ooh.
I thought that was some good news. I was like, oh, cool.
Right on.
I'm not familiar with her.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, so she's actually Brad Dourif, most known for being Chucky. I believe it's his daughter.
Oh.
Yeah, and that she's been involved with the Chucky films before, so it's sort of like a horror alum there.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see how that TV series does, because we've seen so many horror film TV adaptations.
The Mist.
The Mist, and also
Scream.
Scream also.
I like the big one that just got canceled, and I'm still not over it, Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Yeah, that's a huge one. What's that? Blood and Blood Out. What's the vampire one?
Dust Till Dawn.
Yeah. Dust Till Dawn. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So all of them have kind of failed. So it's like, ugh. Especially The Mist. It only lasted a season. And they're nope.
It wasn't good. It was horrible.
Yeah. You tried watching it?
And The Exorcist, the series was really good, but I'm afraid they're even considering canceling Lucifer, so The Exorcist is definitely going.
Wasn't there an Omen series too?
Yeah. It was like a brief series. I don't think it was intended to go long.
If it's really good, I don't mind if they get one season. Yeah, like Scream, I really liked the first season a lot. The second season was not as good, but I still liked it because it's one of those, by then you're invested. You're like, I want to see what happens.
And, Scream was not what you were expecting. That's why, somebody finally made me watch it. I was like, oh, that was actually
good. It was
fun. And, Bates Motel was really good. I mean, because, opening it up into more horror, Bates Motel was great.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are shows I did not watch at all. But, yeah, glad to know that they're good. So check those out, too, folks. All right.
Sweet.
We got a little bit of time left. Let's, let's end with this. Just to preface this, so I was Ubering, all Saturday, from, 1:30 to 7 p.m., because I just work all the time, even if I'm off. And I was just, thinking while I'm driving, have they made a horror movie that involves Ubering and, ride lift, ride sharing and all this?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if there isn't, I'm pretty sure there should be, because, it's the premise is there, you know?
Yeah.
You right?
Plenty of horror stories that exist already with it.
Real life ones, yeah.
Real life horror stories.
The 2 days after I think this, I'm on the website and I find this motherfucking trailer and I'm just wow, there it is. So let's roll it, sumbish. And it's the movie I was talking about. It's called End Trip. And it's about, I'm guessing, a rider who goes around and just murders people where he drops them off.
Oh, the driver?
Yeah, the driver himself. Yeah. He, kidnaps one at one time.
That's such a good idea if you're a serial killer. I mean, I know I'm, brainstorming here, but I'm
I'm not leaving him a good review.
Couldn't they link it back to you pretty quickly, though?
Yeah, because you, leave reviews.
No. I'll give you 5 stabs.
No, but I mean, if someone dies, goes missing, it was Lyft, link it to that person unless they constantly make fake accounts.
Ooh,
yeah. Well, one thing I know, because I used to somewhat work for Uber in a different capacity, it's they don't really check a lot of that stuff. That's why they have a lot of problems. That's why I use Lyft.
Lyft has issues, though, too.
Had a few, but yeah.
I had an unsafe driver and was like, I should be refunded for part of that. And they were like, yeah, sure. And then they didn't get back to me. So Lyft, you suck.
I gotta say, I do love the ending to this trailer. The way it ends is just yeah. Because I go through that where you're just yeah. you'll see.
He doesn't give them the aux cord. Oh, no.
Yeah. It does look very low budget. But
looks
it's like,
good,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. Yeah,
it looks good enough.
Yeah, exactly. For what they were working with.
Okay.
Here's where it gets a bit more intense.
That was a really funny line.
I believe that's that same girl we just heard on the floor bleeding out.
Like, she didn't eat breakfast.
For those listening on iTunes, just if you have the time, go check it out. It's called, what is it called?
End Trip.
End Trip, thank you. And just look it up on YouTube and you can watch that trailer. We're watching it right now. You're just hearing the audio though. Oh yeah, he runs over that dude. Yeah, totes.
I think it should be Uber. Because that's the sound you make.
And I love this part right here at the end.
I'll make my own movie.
Brandon? Yeah. To the airport. All right.
Oh my god. Like that right there, like, really made that trailer for me.
It's like, okay. Oh yeah, they're not gonna notice them missing for a few days. I could have died the other day then.
Or just like his, like the stress that you can see like on his face and like that line delivery, you can see that he's just mm-hmm. so run down. And he's just like, he has to just put this smile on. He's like, yeah, okay.
All right.
Like, job. I've just been through some things. Like, killed
job.
So many people. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, he's such a victim. He kills people.
I know.
Yeah. I can feel his pain. Oh, yeah. I know his pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, last time this other girl tried to run away from... No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
No. Don't come for me, cops. Okay. Anyways, let's... And on that note, let's wrap it up.
Hey guys, I'm Oliver Jenny. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer and check me out on Sundays on the Drag Race After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet since there is only one. And I have a podcast. It's called Mrs. Brightside. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Podbean, and hopefully some more here soon. This week, I had Carrie Lane on my show to talk about the bright side of cosplay. And so, yeah, be sure to subscribe and download that. And I also have another show that is a podcast as well as a YouTube channel called The Red Room. We'll be revamping that and probably be back in the next few weeks. But yeah, keep an eye out for it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fun to be on it. Glad you guys didn't listen. Yeah. Thanks for having me. And you guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And in about an hour or so, we have Anime After Show where we're talking about Full Metal Alchemist.
Woo! Ooh, yeah.
Part two, the end of part two. Because Netflix breaks it down weird. But anyways, it's really cool. I do a lot of other shows, so follow me on Twitter and Instagram to be up to date on all those.
Right on, yes, and I did not watch those episodes.
It's okay. Yeah. Ollie's on the anime show, too.
Yay. Yeah, Ollie's on that, too. My name is Anthony Becerra. You can catch me everywhere at Tony B, Tony _. Again, it's Tony, letter B, Tony _. I'm thinking about changing it, although I've said that
again
for the last couple of weeks now. But yeah, you can also find me on AfterBuzz TV, the sci-fi superhero channel, every Sunday at 4 p.m. with Candace Cruz and Stephanie Zabra. We cover Krypton, the prequel to the man in the Superman, pretty much. But yeah, so catch me on that as well as this show. And next week's is our 30th. I think we might
do something special.
We might do something special. Yeah. So until then, join us next week and peace out.
See ya.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.